Check, check. Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Mega Ran, and it is Matt Mania once again on episode 36. We are talking Royal Rumble. Got a good homie on the show, my special guest, my man Russell, a.k.a. Rated R. He's a dope rapper, wrestling head, journalist. Man, just a really good guy. I had the pleasure of meeting, actually through my homie T-Hall, so shout out to him. Speaking of, I got to see him last night. Rocking with Talib Kweli and Styles P on the 7 tour. Felt good to hear some good hip hop, so I recommend you check that tour out if it's in your area. Also, working on a lot of things. Tours, of course, as always, are happening. That'll be happening in March, well, February 28th with MC Lars, so be on the lookout. But before that, though, Royal Rumble weekend, I'll be in San Antonio, where the Royal Rumble is, for PAX South. And Rumble activities, I'll actually be playing a rap show with the one and only Merce at the Corova, which is 107 East Martin in San Antonio. Myself, Merce, Bitforce, Oh My, Lotus Tribe, and more. Going to be really dope. Going to have a great time. Bitforce is a band that's going to be backing me. They were also backing me when I got engaged, so you might have heard them on that video and other stuff. They're dope. I love those guys. So, lots going on, man. It's almost WrestleMania season. So, I'm actually about to announce an event that's happening there. Tickets are going to be available real soon, probably by the time this comes out. So, head to thesocial.org to get more information. But this show is going to be insane. It's Matt Mania The Revenge. This will be the release party for Matt Mania 2. This is actually the first time I've ever announced this. And music by me in Lynx Kinetic, Cyfried, IQ, Teak Hall, E-Turn, Jackson, Parody, Ben Briggs, Oh Super, more and more and more. It's going to be so dope. So, can't wait to get that to you. It's happening Friday, March 31st, 2017 at The Social Downtown Orlando, 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. Early admittance if you're a VIP, 18 plus. Tickets at thesocial.org. Also, CEO is helping out with that. Big shout out to Alex Jabaley, who's going to be bringing game system streaming and tournaments to that show. Going to be crazy. We got a lot going on, as always. So, thank you so much for supporting. I mentioned last week on social media that I'm having trouble with my host provider. So podcasts are going to be a little more sparingly at this point because of the space and the time that it takes me to do this. So if you are listening, there's only one way I can find out is if you're sharing, you're tweeting, and you're leaving reviews online. So if you're doing that, please continue to do so and let people know that the show exists, because without you telling people, they don't know. And I just want to know that the effort that I put in on the show is worth that. And of course, I'm sure it is because I love it. But I just want to make sure you're getting it and not being like, oh, man, I didn't get that. I didn't even know you did a podcast. You know, I used to do another podcast. And the most frustrating thing is doing things that people don't actually get to hear or enjoy because they just don't know it's happening. So that's why I prefer podcasts over like internet radio, where you do something and it comes on once and you don't know when the replay time is, and sometimes they don't put up the right episodes. I don't know, man, it gets frustrating. So I like the fact that this is completely controlled by me. There is absolutely no advertiser sponsor money going into this. It's just me and you having real conversations about things that we like wrestling and video games. Speaking of video games, I'm on chapter 10 or 11 on Final Fantasy 15. Really enjoying it still. So that's what I'm playing right now. Just started on Transformers Devastation, which is also really dope. I'm late on that, I know. But that's what I'm doing right now. Playing games, getting ready for tour, and working on new merch ideas too. So Matt Mania Vinyl is coming this spring. Right on time for WrestleMania. Anyway, me and Rated R get to talk. We talk about his favorite superstar ever, which I'm sure you could guess by his name, and as well as lots of news. lots of hot takes, lots of opinions on what's happening on Raw and SmackDown and even Wrestle Kingdom. We talk about it all. So thank you again for supporting. If you do like this show and want it to continue, please jump on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/bitsandrhymes, BITSANDRHYMES. All spelled correctly because our mamas raised us right. Thank you for that. And I appreciate your support. Also, I have an Amazon referral link that I'll be able to put into future posts. So, you know, it'll kick a little something back to the show. Again, we're trying to keep the show advertiser free in order to just give it to you the way it is. I don't want to sit on here and say, yo, I love push pins. Don't you love push pins? I need them. Push pins are the best. Boom. I don't want to do that. I want to be able to talk about the things that I actually like to talk about, like wrestling and video games and comic books. Anyway, let's get on with the show. It's Matt Mania, episode 36. Thank you so much for being here. Royal Rumble, I will be out there. PAX East, I will be out there. See you there. All right. It's Mega Ran. It's Matt Mania. With special guest Rated R. Ring the bell, yo. Check. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Mega Ran. It's Matt Mania. We back. It's episode 36. Got a special guest in the virtual building. It's not really. Well, I'm sure he's in the building. He's in the building, and I'm in the building.
Yeah.
It's not the
same. Yeah, I'm in the building.
But Rated R, I didn't get a vent. Spot.
Yeah, I'm sorry to. Hey, it's me, Rated R. How y'all doing? I didn't get a vignette or anything, and this is like my debut, so it's like it's gonna be a cold debut, but we can make it work.
You get a cold open, like, but you know what? Kurt Angle got that, and look where he's at.
Yeah, true. No, I think didn't we see like a video or two for Kurt?
Maybe, but like, I feel like he just showed up. It was just like a match on a pay-per-view, and...
But you know, we can do something that's never been done before. Like, Brock just showed up out of nowhere. This could be like a Brock type of thing. He didn't have a debut. He didn't have an own vignette.
He just came through. Big Show didn't have one. A lot of people...
Yeah, let's go. I can come up under the ring in the building.
Come up under the ring and destroy the set, and then boom. Here we go. All right,
break the cage.
So, Rated R, what's good, sir?
Hey, everything's good. 2017, a lot of good wrestling since the calendar change. I've been just caught up in everything, the tournament from the weekend.
Good.
Oh, man, like, Tyler Bate, that's like my new favorite wrestler right now.
Yo, he's dope. I wanted to get into that, too. I haven't gotten a chance to finish
watching the UK tournament, so I'm really looking forward to getting into that. But that
that's second day.
Yeah.
That second day, everything went up with a level on that second day.
Nice. All right, so before we start getting into wrestling, let me just talk to you about your beginning, your origin story. So now that you've made the debut, now we go into the vignette. So
yeah.
What's the backstory?
Right,
tell the people about what is your history with wrestling? Like, what's your earliest wrestling memory? How did you get into this? How long you been into it? What's the deal?
So this question ties into pretty much the whole, everything's gonna tie together with this, because my first earliest memory is my first wrestling memory. Like, my first memory is a wrestling memory. Wow. I remember being my mother and my father, and that's another thing. So everything kind of like ties into one. It was Saturday Night Main Event. Now that I'm older, I know what it was, but at the time I just remembered it as like watching Macho Man jump off and hit Ricky Steamboat over the barricade.
Yeah.
And just remember watching my parents react to that, laughing, and I'm little, and that's the first thing I remember. And that kind of ties, and I'm an only child, so that kind of ties me to my parents, and I always held on to that. And from there, it just grew organically. I always watched wrestling, and then I started actually diving into it. So I've been around my whole life, pretty much. Like, I took one time off, and that's after Booker T lost to Triple H clean at WrestleMania. I stopped watching. And when the Reign of Terror started, I was gone for like a year, and then I came back, and that was the only time I stopped watching wrestling.
Dope. Okay, that's similar to mine. I was the only child, and it was my older cousins who got me into it. They were watching it. They were going crazy, and I was like, what are they yelling at the TV about, you know? So so that got me into it. It may have been a Saturday Night's Main Event as well.
Yeah, you know, because back then, I don't know if it was a lot of stuff on TV, but it wasn't that many channels, so a lot of people was watching it. And I know my after that, I kind of just held on to it. And then even like with my father not being in my life, I kind of don't hold on to those little memories about it. And then my mom's passed as well, so like throughout life, we watched wrestling together. She loved The Undertaker, so every time he pop up, it reminds me of her and stuff like that. So yeah, it's kind of just ingrained in my whole life. Like, school, I remember getting in trouble as a kid from when they asked me about perfume or something, and I bought a Rick Martel spraying Jake the Snake and blinded him. Like, in the first grade, I remember this. And my mother that they suggested I should stop watching wrestling. So she told him that I wouldn't, but she said when I got home, she was like, you can still watch it. You just told him not to. Like, I didn't tell you not to watch wrestling. Like, you just got to understand it's not. And that's where I kind of, she tried to smart me up, but I still didn't, I wouldn't listen. And then there was a news report on Channel, I'm from New York, so Channel 9, they had a news report one night.
Okay.
And they showed, I think it was Bob Backlund talking to somebody on the ropes, like they called the spot. And I was like, oh, I started crying. My mother made fun of me. She always made fun of me for that. Like, I tried to say, it's real. No, it's real. And that was not.
Wow.
Then I understood. Yeah. Channel 9 exposed them. And it was Bob Backlund. Everything. It was like, he was like a like drop down, hop over the top, and then like a boot or something. Then he did a drop kick on my arm. And everything he said he did, they had the subtitles on the bottom.
Yeah.
And everything was running out. I'm like, oh man, this is.
It was like, okay, I'm going to punch you, or you duck here, or. So,
yeah, I'm like, oh
like
man,
like a really obvious spot. That's crazy.
Yeah, and that was. But wow. Then I still held on from there. But you know, it was like finding out Santa Claus is not real type of thing.
But you still want to enjoy it and believe you still get wrapped up in the magic, like. Adults don't know that Santa Claus. They know that Santa Claus is not a thing, but it's still a magical thing. So
yeah,
we still put up the all the different ornaments and designs and the stuff. We still get into the spirit. So I understand it's the same way with wrestling. Like, it doesn't have to be real. Like, I was watching it with my girl and they were arguing. I think it was I don't know what was happening. Oh, it was when Natty on SmackDown went up to the, we're going to get into all that, but she went to the to the merch table and starts throwing stuff.
She did her own version of R-Truth.
Yeah, and my girl was like, this is so fake, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, yeah, but still, you know.
Nah,
so,
but granted, Natty, she was kind of bad on that segment.
It wasn't great. Okay.
The delivery of the Bret Hart line was like, ah. Oh.
Yeah, it was a little much. Like, she's trying really hard, but it's not. I don't know, man. Anyway, we got to get into that.
Quick question. It's positives about it, though. Because if you think about it, there's multiple women's stories on SmackDown. Like, a year ago, 2 years ago, you could never say anything like that. So, even though it's not the greatest story, last week they had a nice little pull apart. So, it's things positive about it. And you got to look at it. Everybody looks at it negative. It's New Year. We got to look at it the bright way. Like,
absolutely. You know,
it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. All right. So, that's what I like to do. I try to keep it positive on the show, but we also, you know, if some things are disappointing to us, we can let that be known too. So this is Mad Mania. All right. My first question, Rated R, I got to ask you, what are your thoughts overall? I think you just kind of answered it on the current product, like current WWE TV overall. Where do you feel it is now as opposed to a few years ago or even?
Oh, man. Like, if we're doing that, we all lived through the 2009 through 2011 era. So, I'm happy with the product. We get the best wrestling on the show we had since The Shield was six men in every week. Like, we get a lot of good stuff on TV. Yeah, there's things that could be better, but every product is going to go through the changes and they transitioning well. Like, I feel like some new stars could be introduced, but everything is crowded because there's so many people that don't have things to do. And then you want to add new people in there and people get left over, like, and push it aside even further. So, like, it's just a lot of talent. And I think that's like a double-edged sword in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the product is promising. And, this time of year, you ask somebody that question until in the end of January, February, you know it's going to be all positive because they're gearing up. They give you their best stuff. Absolutely. Getting ready for WrestleMania, Royal Rumble.
Absolutely.
If you looked at this week, the opening segment on Raw, that's like a lot of star power in the ring together at one time.
Oh, yeah, that was insane. I don't think you would see that in the middle of the year, you know, or at another time of year, except now.
Watching the show, and it kind of carried the momentum from it. Like, the Bayley-Charlotte segment was a little, but, you know, from the beginning of the show, it was a great start. Like, wow, they got Paul Heyman in here with Roman, then they brought out Braun and Seth and everybody. I'm like, yeah, that's like, gave Sami Zayn a nice little shine to be in there.
Yeah, that was cool. Okay, so we know where you were, what you feel about the current product, and I honestly agree. I think that there is a lot of great things happening right now, and we're getting ready for WrestleMania season. First, that goes through San Antonio and the Royal Rumble. This week's Raw starts off with something you wanted to talk about, a very special tribute to Martin Luther King, because Monday was Martin Luther King Day. What did you think about the MLK intro?
You know, so over the years, this has come to be a tradition. You know, we see it every year. And as it evolved, before maybe it was like 30 seconds. And, you know, over the years, it gets longer and longer. But then you run out of pictures of Martin Luther King because, you know, it wasn't like they didn't have cell phones and stuff like that. So you start having to highlight other people.
Yeah.
So this year they decided to, you know, it went from Martin Luther King. And then we see Rosa Parks, mm-hmm. you know, civil rights activist.
Check.
Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Integrated baseball.
Check.
James Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Godfather of Soul.
Yes.
Jesse Owens.
Ah.
Olympic star.
Yes.
Nelson Mandela.
Ah.
You know?
Yes.
Fought against apartheid and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Perry. The next person was Tyler Perry. Like, you can't have run out of people. Like, I was sitting there and I'm like, all right, so maybe, I'm like, okay, maybe they're just going to go into celebrities. But then next was Thurgood Marshall. And I'm like, all right.
Whoa.
And then after that was Ray Charles and then Halle Berry. I'm like, so you just threw Tyler Perry? Like, is it? So it's not an order of importance. But then I'm like, I just couldn't figure out. I don't know. It's kind of stumped me.
Yeah, it wasn't even like alphabetical order. So it wasn't an order of importance. It wasn't like time order. They just kind of tossed them in there. Now,
but it kind of started off with like, so, you know, it did start off important and then it kind of just like tailed off. I seen Chris Rock, which was, that made me happy.
Yeah, they had Chris Rock in there. They had like Condoleezza Rice. Like it was yeah, all, you know, over the place. But like,
I just thought the Tyler Perry thing kind of stuck out to me though.
Okay, is it because, let's keep it real, is it because you're not particularly a fan of Tyler Perry's works? Or do you feel like Tyler Perry just doesn't belong in this conversation?
No, I mean, I guess he's done things for like being the director and everything. I'm not really a fan, but I don't. I guess that's kind of biased as far as me not. But I'm not like, no, I wasn't picking on him. I just thought it was weird. Like,
you're definitely not the only person who doesn't, you know, isn't a fan of Tyler Perry's work. So I understand that.
I just thought it was weird. Like, that's all.
In that context, like, wow, you know, Martin Luther King and then Tyler Perry in the same vignette just sounds kind of crazy. But
yeah, I was kind of stuck. So you know, they had Oprah, like regular people. I guess this is the way to start getting him in these type of things. Maybe from now on, we got to think of him like in the same breath as Martin Luther King.
I mean, I think what they're trying to say is that these are people that are the realization of his dream. You know what I'm saying? Like,
true.
These are people whose accomplishments wouldn't have happened if not for the sacrifices. So,
which is true.
Yeah, so I can understand that. But like, yeah, they didn't put like Beetlejuice, the dude from like Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, I don't know. So that is a little weird. But
nah, but he should be on. He should get like his wrestling clip with him getting a hit with a guitar from Jeff Jarrett. It don't get enough play because Jeff Jarrett involved. But that was a great. I remember from Nitro.
Oh, that was great, man.
When he called them slap nuts and he tried to walk away.
He's like, crack. I was watching it the other day. Thank goodness for the network, man. I've been watching old Nitro, and a lot of it was bad, but man, there was some funny moments in there. So I don't know. I got caught up in the post. I guess it was the post Bischoff era where, you know, it was just kind of people just running wild.
And yeah. Like,
and
that's how it was good.
It was good stuff, man, because it was really unpredictable. Like, it kept me watching because I didn't know what was going to happen.
And Norman Smiley. Emergence and Norman Smiley was one of my favorite parts of that time. Like, I learned, like, so I had a few matches. Like, Bret Hart is my favorite wrestler all the time. So, I learned with nostalgia, sometimes it's best left alone. Like, I watched pretty much all of those. I used to take one in the front of the house and watch Raw in the back. Like, watch Raw in the back. Like, whichever one I wanted to watch more that night, I would watch one in one room and tape it in the other.
Wow.
So like, I pretty much watched. Like, I lived through all of that stuff growing up. Like, and I don't want to go back like and mess it up from how I remember it. So I don't really watch the old Nitro. Like, I watch a lot of stuff that I haven't seen before. Like, okay. That's why lately I've been into the, you know, the New Japan stuff.
Yeah.
Like, ever since the first Wrestle Kingdom with the English commentary.
Yeah.
Ever since then, I just been knee deep in the New Japan stuff. Like,
yeah, New Japan is killing it, man. So, real quick, before we get into Raw SmackDown, what were your thoughts on Wrestle Kingdom? And, of course, we got to talk about the Kenny Omega news. So, Kenny, overall, Wrestle Kingdom, what were your thoughts on it?
All right, so Wrestle Kingdom, great show. Like, everything that everybody said about it already. Mm-hmm. My own current active favorite wrestler is Kushida. So, I personally took a loss that night. But it was a great match. It was definitely a great match.
It was a great match. So what do you think about the Kenny Omega situation? Kenny Omega put on a 6-star match.
And it really was good, though.
And it fell short and then announced that he's exploring other options. I feel like he's going to keep us in suspense, at least up until the Rumble, to make people think that there's a possibility. But I don't think he's going to WWE or anything like that. I feel like maybe this is just a holdout for more money, which maybe he deserves, and a little more status out there. True. So, I don't know. What do you think about it?
With the with as far as Kenny Omega,
yeah,
it's real, because like the John Cena thing, it's like when I deal with situations like this, it's like do you want to keep kayfabe or do you want to just like act like you really know everything? Because the contract situation, then you know that he can't actually be in the Rumble. But it's still, you still want to suspend this. Like, what if he really can't show up, though? You know, so I look at the situation like that. Like, you know, you kind of, he can't, but you still want to think that he can.
Yeah.
So at the Rumble, but that don't mean, like, as far as him coming overall, I think it's a strong possibility, because John Cena, I don't think John Cena, you know, like, he's just going to put Kenny Omega picture up. Like, when he did AJ Styles, he was signed already.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny Omega's not signed, but... He might, he like, is he trying to tell him something, or And what does John Cena gain from that? And why would you promote Kenny Omega if you're not trying to build something down the line?
Yeah, maybe
the AJ Styles thing played out exactly like people thought it was. Like, as soon as John Cena came back, that was the first feud.
Yeah, I think, but a lot of people, what they did was, and I remember when the AJ Styles thing was going down, Finn Balor was doing a lot of teasing as well on like his social media.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I feel like they kind of talked to these guys about, like, yo, throw a feeler out there, see if people are excited, you know? And if the people want it, one thing you learn about WWE, like, if the people want it bad enough, they'll make it happen, you know, if they can. So I think maybe that was just like, let's just toss a feeler out. We can't say his name, you know, we can't necessarily do that, but we'll just, you know, smoothly allude to it and see if people.
Rand, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, what's up?
So out of the potential of Kenny Omega, his future, this would answer, like, this could, we'll see where you lean in. Which match would you want to see more? The rematch with Okada or John Cena?
Man, I don't even necessarily want to see John Cena. I'd rather see Okada, honestly. But
you would see the, you would rather see the rematch?
I'd rather see the rematch, think.
But I, as a standalone match, I would choose the rematch, but with the implications of everything, if it meant seeing a John Cena match mean we could see Kenny Omega against everybody else, I think I would choose the John Cena match.
Okay, now what if it was like John Cena who goes to Japan for a one night only thing?
Whoa, but then I would want to see him against Tanahashi.
Okay.
If John Cena could go to Japan for one night, you can't, you know, no, Kenny, no. It can't be Kenny Omega. Like, if he's going to go to Japan,
it's got to be like, Japan.
Yeah, it got to be Tanahashi. Because that's the only time you're going to have a chance to do that.
You're right.
And they both telling, they're going through similar stories right now, too. Like,
yeah.
And speaking of which, everybody stop poo-pooing on Tanahashi's new song. It's amazing. It is amazing. I don't know what's wrong with people.
I'm not going to say amazing, but it's
like, you just got to give it time.
Yeah, yeah, it might need some time. All right.
And I just like the fact that he likes it so much.
Yeah, he loves it. So speaking of giving it time, I think that we're appropriately kind of bubbling up to the Royal Rumble. I think that they're leading in well with these shows. So this week, a couple of the tributes happened and went down. This past week, Jimmy Snuka, Hall of Famer, great, passed away. So they did do a Snuka tribute. And we talked about it on a previous show that I wasn't sure what they were going to do or say. But luckily, you know, he was cleared of all the charges, like, right before this happened. So I feel like I want to ask you, if those charges hadn't cleared, do you think that they would have mentioned Snuka on the show?
Oh, would they? I think they might have just did a graphic.
Yeah, probably.
They probably would have did a graphic out of respect for the people that's related to him that's involved with the company still. Because I think it would have rubbed a lot of people the wrong way if they wouldn't have did anything.
Yeah, like,
I think they went overboard. Personally, I think they went overboard with the whole him being interviewed, like the video package with his interviews and stuff. I think that was a little much, but
yeah,
I think they did that to make sure that everybody would be okay in the company. Because you know they still got a lot of their key employees have ties to him.
That's the truth. All right.
So you gotta keep your people happy.
Yeah, you're right about that. So let's get into Raw. Raw started off with a bang this week. It was definitely a banger of an episode, at least for the beginning. I feel like, as it always does, it kind of falls off after that. But the beginning, I thought it was amazing. Star-studded. But again, I feel like a lot of stuff was filler throughout the show. But we saw a lot of cool things. We saw Brock Lesnar face-to-face with Braun Strowman. We saw Brock F5 Roman. We heard Roman give a promo, and you mentioned something about this promo, so I want to talk about that.
Yeah, Roman, he dropped the mic, but can this the Braun Strowman? I feel like it's something. If it wasn't for Goldberg, I think that might have been a match, because if you remember last year in the Rumble, Brock kind of made an example out of Braun Strowman, and it took a long time for Braun to get taken seriously again after that.
Yeah.
So I think for Braun's development, and the fact that he seems to be, he thinks he's not just a monster that's just running around like without a thought process, he kind of has to. He has to confront Goldberg, and the reason why people were scared that upset that he backed down, but he wasn't upset. He remembers from what happened, so you got to kind of look at the story like that. Maybe he's more intelligent than they're giving him credit for.
Okay, that's a good point. All right, I like that.
And maybe he's gonna pick his spot because it is Brock. Even though Brock had a bad night the last time we seen him, they reestablished who he is on Raw this week. Like, he's still Brock. Like,
they did. I was wondering about that. I mean, people complained about the Goldberg thing going so quickly and being like, man, you just took all the air out of Brock Lesnar. But I still think Brock is still the biggest box office dude they got. So,
like, no matter what happened, just the man mention of him had the crowd buzzing. So even if they wouldn't have did anything as good as what they did, he was still Brock to the crowd. Exactly. At least where they were at this week.
Yeah,
I think Little Rock, right?
Little Rock, yeah.
And yeah, it was in Little Rock.
Brock he's still the man. So, like, on the other side, if Brock would have trashed Goldberg in a minute and a half, do you think Goldberg could still come back and be feared?
Wouldn't even seen Goldberg if that would have happened. I think that would have been, he would have came back on Raw the next night, said his goodbyes, and probably been in the Hall of Fame next year or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But the fact that I think the way they did it was, at the time, at the night, I was upset, but as, like, now I'm looking at it like, oh, okay, that makes more sense, and you can get more out of it, especially if they're gonna fight again at WrestleMania. Because remember, at the time, it was just, oh, he's the one match, and I'm like, if you're gonna go out like that with one match and just leave, but I feel like he's gonna give something back, and if you're gonna give back, then welcome to the team. Like, even that's why I'm upset. Like, the thing about when they complain about part timers, I guess it's just when they win. If they win all the time, then you're not giving back.
Yeah. You gotta take the L once in a while.
Yeah, you gotta give back. Like, Jericho gives back too much though, but he's not really a part time anymore, so he's just like a full time.
Yeah. So, speaking of Jericho, I'm glad you mentioned it. Jericho's now a U.S. champ. He's a Grand Slam champ. I've been saying this all week, and it's not something I hear a lot from people, but I think it's time to start talking about Jericho as a greatest of all time contender. Because I feel like his career has been incredible. Not to mention the wrestling in the ring, but to be able to come back, switch up gimmicks so many times, not relying on the same catchphrases, not relying on the same feuds, the same anything. Like, you can...
Every time
it's different. And it's
now, the only thing is the same as the matches, but it's okay because everything else, the dressing is good. Like... The taunts are different, so the moveset is the same, but he does, the trunks are different. Like, you know, he does little things like that. My personal top five, I think he's definitely in there. Like, I mean, Flair, I would put Flair above him.
Yeah.
Because Flair had longevity too, and that last little run did a lot for Flair when he came back.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, he was just like some old man wrestler in the 90s. And then he came back, he was doing bloodbath matches, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And he gave back a lot too. But I kind of had... prior to this last little run with Jericho, I kind of had him and Edge neck and neck. Mm. But now I was like, I think I'll give Jericho the nudge. Like, Jericho definitely, because Edge had kind of like a more of a top guy run.
Yeah.
Like, as far as on SmackDown, Jericho never really was like the guy.
I never was an Edge fan, I'm going to just be honest. And maybe it's because the era he was on top was a time that I wasn't really into wrestling. And I remember them as a tag team wrestler. It's funny because I had Murs on the show, and he says the same thing about Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, which is crazy to me.
But he says
he doesn't really see them as top guys because in his time they were tag team guys. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but
I don't know. He's like he's still on the opinion of the big guys who are on top, the physically big guys. Are the main eventers. The little guys are the dressing. You know,
that mentality is like, I don't even know when the last time the main guy was the biggest guy, or like,
yeah.
Cena was the strong. Cena's probably the strongest, but he's never really been he's a big guy. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah, he's not like the biggest dude. You know what I mean? Like a Braun Strowman now, or the Big Show, or whoever.
Yeah, nothing like that.
There's nothing like that happening.
But Edge. I think my love for him and his career probably comes with the fact that you watch him, you pretty much watch him from his debut, his whole career. Like, he never went anywhere else. You watch him go through everything.
Yeah.
And you watch, like, that's like a homegrown star. Like, and we don't see, like, this is like maybe their first one, because if you think Undertaker, but he came from somewhere else. Like, Edge came up in a developmental and spent his whole career there. And he went through a natural progression. Like, I always see wrestling as a television show, like, since I've been little. Like, one long television show, and it's, like, characters come in and out. Vince McMahon is, you know, his kids grew up, and now they on the show. Like, everything is one long show, like, to me. So, characters, you get attached to the characters throughout the years. And it's like they don't never have a show. It's never a season off, or there's no off season. There's, like, one long episode. It's like, I really see it as a TV show.
That's true. Okay, so I got to ask you, only because I missed this part of the show or the time. Edge and Christian at one point were considered brothers, right? Or was this just some, like, in kayfabe, they were brothers. Are they still kayfabe brothers?
No, when on Christian's, like, that last run, they were always saying best friend. They stopped saying brothers around when Christian came back. Okay. You know, because until he left, they were still brothers.
Okay. So then when he came back,
they were just best friends.
Okay. All right. I was just wondering.
Because I remember when he won a title, he was like, and he went with the assistance of his best friend. Like, you know, in the spot where he could have said brother, it was more highlighting the fact that he did it for, when he beat Del Rio, they was more saying that, oh, he did it for his best friend because he gave up the title and everything.
Okay.
I think that if they were still keeping the brother. And then now we can't really get away with that.
Nah, you can't get away with it now. Okay.
Before we was okay with it.
Just wondering. That was like a random thing that was in my mind. Like, when were they not brothers anymore? Okay. So anyway.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Real quick, but this is with the Edge thing. I know I went off topic with the whole TV show stuff, but I was like, he kind of tied to me getting back into wrestling, because my first pay-per-view back was when he cashed in. I was watching New Year Resolution. So when he cashed in, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Like, you know, it was a regular, something else had happened with Carlito and Chris Masters that was in an Elimination Chamber match. Mm-hmm. And then John Cena won. And then Edge came out. So, like, my kind of, like, that little building up to that was my reintroduction back into it. So I'm kind of tied with him as I got back more into it. He got more prominent and became more of a focal point. So I think that's kind of where my attachment to him comes from.
Okay. And I can see that.
That's where my rap name comes from as well. Like, you know, around the Rated R Superstar time.
Absolutely.
And that was my favorite wrestler around the time. So even back then, I was blending the two things together.
Okay. I was wondering that. I was going to get into that too. All right. So another thing that happened on Raw was Charlotte came out and mentioned her strategy for this match. And it wasn't really a strategy. It was just, let's mock Bayley and make fun of her as a kid and her poetry and her being a fan. Now, I thought this took a long time to develop, but it eventually, I think it kind of came together, and I actually got excited about it.
I like it.
I love Charlotte. Absolutely think Charlotte's probably the best thing going on Raw. And
that's my favorite woman performer right now. I mean, yeah, my favorite woman performer by far. Like, she's the best. She deserves to be on top.
Absolutely. She's the best. So,
and the thing I like about them, I like especially that segment, is it went on too long, but they both are courageous. Like, they hung in there. Charlotte, she's been going through that for a while, but she still hangs in there. And sometimes Bayley segments die, but she get them back with her enthusiasm just for the fact that she don't give up. Like, you know how somebody might go in a shell when things aren't going well or something? No, they stick to what they got to do, and it gets the crowd back on board. Like, Charlotte got to deal with what's every week, but she still get her point across. Mm-hmm. I mean, it did go too long, though, but I just like the fact that the women are even in a position to be doing these things.
I think
because they was just... Yeah, it's very dope. Like, and then we still, again, this is another show with multiple women's stories, because we seen the attack from Sasha. Mm-hmm. I mean, from Nia Jackson and Sasha too,
so it
which was
cool.
Different. Like, they did like a pre-segment. Like, you never seen that before.
I had never seen that. A pre-show, like, warm-up thing. Like,
yeah, trying to get cleared by the doctors.
I was watching the people in the back, like, that were behind the guardrail, who were supposed to be, I guess, regular people or trainers or WWE staff. And they all sold it. They all was like, what? What is happening? One dude is, like, filming on his cell phone. Like,
with nobody helping.
It was, like, great. Nobody helped.
I guess you wouldn't mess with the talent, though, in a real situation. Like, if you're a regular, like, if you're a staff member, you probably wouldn't help. Like, nah, I'm not messing with Nia Jax.
Yeah, you're not.
Probably was as shoot as it could get.
Yeah, that was good. That was good stuff. I'm sure they didn't know that was going to happen. Like, so that was pretty great. So they got real reactions out of those people. All right, so question is, they're really building up Bailey's chase, and I think I like it. I like what's happening. So the next question is, does anybody actually believe Bailey is winning at the Rumble, or is this the setup? Is this the setup for maybe the WrestleMania moment? You know what I mean? What do you think? Does Bailey have any chance?
So Elimination Chamber, is there going to be a fast lane?
I think so.
Or Roadblock? Oh, because it was already Roadblock, so it's a fast lane in between. If Raw has a pay-per-view in between between WrestleMania and, Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, then I think that, I'm not really sure either way, but they would have to do a multiple person match at the next pay-per-view if they're going to still do Bayley and Charlotte at WrestleMania.
Right.
But I don't. So I guess Charlotte would have to win on Sunday or next week.
It seems like it. I think Charlotte has to win to keep it, and then maybe Bayley will get another shot somehow.
And we haven't seen Dana Brooke in a while. Maybe something like that, or maybe if you want to introduce something, or just to maybe bring in Melina just to destroy. Or maybe that's probably not the right way to do it.
Yeah. All right.
Just something to give Bayley something to do to build, because they already, if that's the WrestleMania program, they started it kind of early.
Yeah. All right. I think it is a little early, so maybe something they'll throw something in there to keep that going until Mania. But I think it is off to a good start, so I'm excited about that. All right. Tag team titles went down in this match, or supposedly. We thought the club had actually won the tag team titles.
A dusty finish.
They did the dusty finish.
Anderson and Gallows must love Dusty Rhodes, because they did the thing with the Bailey bear that had the Dusty Rhodes polka dots. And now they did a day involved in the dusty finish. Maybe that's their comeuppance.
Maybe. I think
Dusty got him.
They got a lot of
American Flair, baby.
That was cool. All right, so what do you think's happening with this feud? Do the club have a chance? Is this gonna work out? What's gonna happen?
I just think that the better every week Cesaro and Sheamus get better and better. Like, the entrance gets better. First it was like awkward with the whole Cesaro running in front of the light. Now it's cool. He holds all four on a minute. I'm like, every week they get better. Like, I'm kind of getting attached to the team. Like, I want to see them do good things. In the club, like, I feel bad. Like, a trade would be good for them. Like, if they could find a way to get the SmackDown, that'd be amazing for the club, because they don't fail too much on Raw. Like, and they can't be rehabilitated at this point, because they're going to go against Enzo and Cass. Mm. Or maybe they could beat the New Day now, finally. Well, they was winning, too, in non-title matches, so I think they just need to change the scenery.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Who would you trade them for if you were going to do a trade to SmackDown?
I would do Breezango, but they probably worth more than that.
Yeah.
But the fact, but Breezango fit in better on Raw, where they could do something, like they could mess around, maybe even turn face with all of the hodgepodge tag teams on Raw. They could probably fit in there somewhere. But like, cause I don't think SmackDown has the depth to lose a good team. They need all these teams, cause they just lost Randy Orton and the Wyatt family. It seemed like they losing that team.
Yeah.
But then the Usos could reemerge too.
Yeah.
Maybe
the
Usos for the club trade.
Maybe. I wouldn't mind saying
that could be the catalyst, because they bring their new attitude to Raw, and they rub off on their cousin Roman.
That could work. Then you
that could work well. They be like, Roman, you see it's working for us. They come, they win the titles, they first match or something, and they be like, Roman, you see this new attitude working for us.
Put on this new rag. Take this new rag.
Come put on these sneakers. Take that flag jacket off.
Time to get rid of this jacket. Yo, so speaking of Roman, we didn't talk about it. We talked about it off mic.
Oh.
But his intro promo, he said something. Now, Roman's promos usually drag on a little bit, but he says something that kind of perked my ears up, and yours too.
Yeah. I like his confidence always, though. Like last week, the backstage segment, when he had the title and he was just all matter of fact, like, I do what I do. I like his, I don't see the problem. Like, I hate the whole, I can see, like, this week he gave people a reason to not like him. But overall, I think he does his job. He has the great matches that he, when you're in a position, when you're in the main event, you get to work with the best people. So you can't fault him for having good matches with the best people.
Right.
If he wasn't having good matches, he wouldn't be in a position.
Yeah. So Roman said, nobody can beat me. One-on-one. He said,
nobody in the world can beat me.
Nobody in the world can beat me one-on-one. Now, this is right something now. That right now, like, this is almost like a welcome for Booze to come. Like, this is something
it's unprecedented.
That,
like, yeah, name like, another occasion where somebody says, I cannot lose a one-on-one match in the world. Like, nobody can beat me right now in the world.
I don't feel like anybody. I mean, maybe AJ would say something like that. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, probably. But he'll say, I'm the best wrestler in the world. He won't say, nobody can beat me. Well, maybe he can say, nobody can beat me one-on-one.
One-on-one,
that was
yeah.
just like that was just like a, like, no, listen. Like, I lost, but we know, you know, and I know type of thing. Like,
yeah.
If this was one-on-one, it would not have went that way type. Like, I don't lose clean. Like,
right.
That's basically what he's saying. Like,
basically what he said. You know I don't lose clean, so you know that was some bull. Now,
yeah.
With the smirk
on his face.
With the smirk. So it's like, that was a little heelish right there. I was like, interesting. I don't know if that was written for him or he went a little over, you know, what was written.
But if it wasn't written and he did that, that's a great sign. You need to do more of that. Like, start steering it. Start taking your career by the reins. Like, it's live TV. I'm not saying go out there and be, like, insubordinate or nothing. But if you got a chance to alter something to make the product better, ask for forgiveness than permission.
Permission, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I live by that. All right, well.
I think I'm starting to myself. Like.
Right? Oh, man. Okay, so we're going to take a break. We'll come back with some SmackDown stuff, and then we're going to do some Royal Rumble reactions and predictions on what's going down. Right now, it's Matt Mania with Rated R, and we'll be back in a second. Yeah.
And I'm back, great moody too. Me and Rock spitting in they face like Moody do. Hooligan style, we bringing chaos to a musical. Doing us well, just focus on doing you. Yeah, and on the real, only real can tell who is who. Circling around the competition like a hula hoop. Spitting in they face like Moody do. Rated R and Rocky Romero, this is great moody too.
The untamable animal, Jet Asuka, rebel blood in battle, radioactive spit. Token spirit, splitting atoms like an atomical radical doing battle. Just wanna create, better than I was yesterday, better than I was last May. I wanna be like Muda, have my personality split, like two identical black doves tearing through the matrix. But don't call me Neo, cause I ain't new to this shit. Multiple persons in my head and they causing a rip. Now I find myself roaming around as I drift, past the stars, back to Mars, cosmic reality trip. And if this is my new reality, I hope to find my center in my own singularity. The dawn of a new generation in me, the end of astral zombies, cause I'll always be a misfit wearing black and khaki. Sugar.
And I'm back, great moody too. Me and Rock spitting in they face like Moody do. Hooligan style, we bringing chaos to a musical. Doing us well, just focus on doing you. Yeah, and on the real, only real can tell who is who. Circling around the competition like a hula hoop. Spitting in they face like Moody do. Rated R and Rocky Romero. This is great, ready to a funeral. One more chance, channeling the moolah from the champ. But it's Russell Rap Brandon, I'm the ruler. And I'm setting the bar with my hand, laying on the ruler. Following forever hooligan plans to make it cool outlandish. I'm busting the grammar like commuters. I sent the beat out to Japan to make it cool. I got shirts on what a maneuver. Got them watching the movements and I'm rocking with Romero to get a pop from the music. From Rockaway to Roppongi, falling victim to vices. I was born high tech, equipped with sick of devices. The one true wrestle rap messenger, cause I got a wrestler to wrap up on a song about a wrestler. Me and Rock double the letters, it's four R's. And a special shout out to Beretta, cause on God I'ma go harder than ever, forever to lead my daughter straight. I will go to war with fate, and what's realer than that? And I'm back, great moody too. Me and Rock spitting in they face like Moody do. Hooligan style, we bringing chaos to a musical. Doing us well, just focus on doing you. Yeah, and on the real, only real can tell who is who. Circling around the competition like a hula hoop. Spitting in they face like Moody do. Rated R and Rocky Romero, this is great moody too.
Yo, what's going on? It's Mega Ran. We're back. It's Matt Mania, episode 36, Rated R in the building. What up? It is.
Yo. Again, we're in building. We are in two buildings.
Two separate buildings. Doing the show. So we're talking about the road to Royal Rumble and then the road to WrestleMania. SmackDown this week, I thought was pretty good. There was a
SmackDown always good in my eyes. I always want SmackDown to be longer. Like every week when I start like it start getting towards the end, I'm like, damn, I wish it was more time. But then I'm like, I'm glad it's not more time, because when the last time wrestling had you wanting more? Like, and I watch you talk and smack every week, like just to get a little bit more of the characters, like, because the character progression, that's something Raw doesn't have, like.
No.
Hey, you get to see, like, we watch, I've been watching Toga Smack from the first one, so you get to watch The Miz progress and actually become a part of the story from his progression on Toga Smack. Same thing with Baron Corbin. Like, the Usos, like, after they did it, you know what I mean? They got, you got to see a little bit of the more behind the scenes type of thing. And that's a good thing for wrestling.
They're using it to, using it correctly to advance characters, which I think is needed, you know, and so
it's helping to build new stars. Like the fact that Miz was in the ring, and we know he can't win the Royal Rumble, but last year he wouldn't have been in a position to be in that promo, like to be a guy with John Cena and AJ Styles and the Miz. Like that's a big deal that they rehabilitated the Miz so much over the last year and some change. Like since he got, even before he had Maurice, like. But then once he got Maurice back, it just took off. Because before Maurice, I think he was doing the two-take thing. Or was that when he first got it back?
I think it was when he first got it back.
Like he was saying his lines, and then he was like, hold on. Let me.
Oh, man. Okay, so SmackDown was in Memphis. So they did a couple of very Memphis things. They did the concession stand brawl that we were talking about. And then they brought the king back for the king's court, which I thought was cool. And his guest was Dolph Ziggler. It didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. I think it was even better than I thought it was going to happen. I thought Dolph was just going to come out and be like, I'm sick of people and, you know, I don't need anybody, you know.
Like, two things about that segment, like, really made me realize that life is happening. Like, when they started doing the close-ups of Jerry Lawler, and when he pointed out that the blonde and Dolph hair was going away, I'm like, yo, that's really, like, life is really taking place before our eyes. Like, things are happening. Like Jerry Lawler's getting old. Like, Dolph is, like, the blonde is gone. Like, things are really happening.
This is real life.
Oh, man. This is real life. I felt so sad looking at Jerry. Then he kicked him in the heart. I'm like, yo, you got a heart kick? Like, man. Like,
Jerry looked rough and dumb.
JBL took the tumble.
JBL seen JBL take the tumble? Yo, it was just so much happening. It was life.
Yo, David Otunga, that's the one opportunity you had. And he let him off so easy. Like, he gets on you every week. And you just gave, you're like, oh, John, about your, no, you're supposed to ride him on that. He's not supposed to live that down.
Right.
Like, get your revenge.
Bringing that up the rest of the show. Like, man, he looked like
you brought it up for the little bit. It's like he was hesitant to bring it up too. Like, no, you're supposed to get him.
Nah, you gotta get him, man. You know he would have
got
you.
I was trying to help my friend. Right. I didn't see you do anything. Like, oh, all right, JBL, I feel you.
Oh, man. Okay, so they spent a lot of the beginning of the show hyping up Elimination Chamber, which is the next SmackDown-only pay-per-view, which comes like 2 weeks after the Rumble. Actually, it's going to be in Phoenix, so I'm going to try my best to make it there.
That was nice.
So I feel like they're completely overlooking and over-talking the Royal Rumble at this point. And to me, that sounds like a sign. I mean, granted, you want to sell tickets to the next event, but I feel like talking about a pay-per-view after the pay-per-view, before the one even started, I've never seen that before. So it feels
long-term story building.
Like, it feels to me like, I love the long-term stuff that they're thinking, but it does feel to me like Royal Rumble is going to be a Raw-centric pay-per-view. And that lets me know, kind of as a hint and a spoiler, that a Raw guy is going to win the Royal Rumble. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, a lot of thoughts on that, because I feel like the fact that it is a Raw centric is going to be a Raw centric pay per view. That's the reason why Undertaker made his appearance on Raw as opposed to doing that same speech on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Because he probably could have did the same thing. He didn't really call out anybody in particular, but the fact that he did it on Raw, I think that's like either could be a red herring, but I also see it as a sign where maybe that's where they're going. And he needs to be in the mix with these people as opposed to just being away, squared away on SmackDown. Because if he's going to be in the mix with somebody from there on at Mania, then he needs to start getting OC throughout the pay-per-view and the build-up.
Yeah. Okay. It's a good point.
And with SmackDown, I think the title match, like both title matches are pretty much predictable, but then Elimination Chamber kind of threw a curveball in as far as the SmackDown title match goes now, because they could hold off the Cena thing for one more month.
Yeah. So it's the inevitable is going to happen. Is that at some point, probably, yeah. Cena is going to break the 16 time. He's going to get 17 at some point, probably this year, do you think?
But it's funny because I actually looked this up. It's the last time Cena was the champion was in 2014.
Yeah. That was right before.
At SummerSlam. SummerSlam 2014 was the last time he was champion.
Yeah. And so you feel like SummerSlam would be
It's kind of due. Like, we complained about him not being in the spotlight. He came back, he made Rusev. He gave Bray Wyatt, like, he did the same thing for Bray Wyatt, even in losing. They still around. Oh, this is going to bury them. No, they both doing fine. You know what I mean?
Fine? I don't know. Rusev is kind of floundering.
Rusev just was in a... last time we seen Rusev, like, he gets in prominent positions. He got to be in there with Goldberg, Shawn Michaels.
To get trashed, though. Like, he's not but getting still any
got
moment.
That, you still got that highlight. Whenever they show that Shawn Michaels clip, he had a super kick Rusev, and Rusev held his own. You know when they kind of was freestyling a little bit?
Yeah.
Remember when they in that exchange, even he kind of broke Shawn Michaels too.
I forget what he said.
He was asking him about the super kick. He's like, 'cause he even kick me that high. He's like, I don't know, but like, probably not.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I felt like, I don't know. I'm not saying that was a Cena effect, but you look at these guys now, they're not main eventers yet, and it's like, come on.
It comes from being overcrowded, though. It's a lot of talent. Like, yeah. You know, before it was guys that deserved it. Like, everybody has a argument to be a main eventer at this point. Like, you can say pretty much a lot of people, like Rusev, you can say he should be in the main event. Yeah. Same thing for Bray Wyatt. Like, but it's crowded.
Yeah, yeah. So, do you think there's a chance of the Royal Rumble being like a coming out party for somebody? Like some surprise winner to be like, yo.
Looking at the people that's in there, I see the popular thing going around is the Sami Zayn story. I don't know if you've seen it. Like, people thinking that maybe Sami Zayn should win.
Wow. Now that would be crazy.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, people would pop.
It would definitely work. So that would mean Kevin Owens would have to keep the title. But then so what would Roman do? Like, it would change a lot of stuff, and I don't think the Sami Zayn thing is... And nobody's talking about, like, if somebody wins and goes to the other brand, you don't have to necessarily fight for the title that you want a brand of. They haven't even been building up the choice thing.
They haven't mentioned that at all, so I don't know.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, they used to build up the choice. We don't know which title's going to be in the main event. They're just making it seem like whichever brand wins, that person gets the shot at that title.
They haven't said it at all.
Maybe that's a red herring for some like kind of cross up or something.
Because they haven't mentioned that like not once. So that's what made me think that's why SmackDown's talking about their next title match, because the person's going to obviously go after.
What could SmackDown's biggest title match at WrestleMania be? Like, if going with just the people on the roster?
Oh, man. I don't think there's nothing bigger than AJ and Cena.
Yeah, it's nothing bigger on the roster that they could do. Like, Maybe Randy AJ, but that's not.
I don't know if that's not bigger than
that wouldn't be bigger than the third. Even if they say, for instance, John Cena wins, and then they run it back at WrestleMania, like that would still probably be the biggest match they could do.
Yeah, I think they've.
So maybe maybe the SmackDown, maybe somebody has to come from Raw to like from the Raw side to.
Okay, that would make it interesting because as of right now. I can't.
But then again, what about like, I don't know. Nah, that would be a waste. You can't really do it. I was thinking if John Cena was the champion, maybe doing something with Miz, but.
I was thinking that they might do Miz.
But I think the Ambrose and Miz story still got some stuff to be told with it. Yeah. You don't want to rush through it just to get Miz in a position. Like, you would probably want to see it play out organically in it. The natural storyline link would have it like Tom and the conclusion ending up around WrestleMania. Like, especially if they flop the title one more time or something, or they keep getting the women involved, they could do like, you know, the mixed tag match or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. There's a lot of possibilities.
That's SmackDown. Maybe Baron Corbin is like, maybe we need to start taking him a little serious. But I don't know if he just lost to Cena, so I don't think that's a big. I don't know how big of a him being in the main event would like. I don't know.
I could see him coming.
Is there any call-ups? Like maybe something that could happen like that? That'd change the scenery, because before the Rumble last year, we didn't have AJ Styles in our WrestleMania plans.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Maybe it's a surprise that we're not thinking of that might actually happen. I know Kyle O'Reilly was unsigned. I don't know if that would be a big enough surprise on the level of AJ Styles, but maybe that could be something.
I've been hearing all the kinds of rumors about Samoa Joe and or Shinsuke.
You think it's finally that time?
I would love to see that happen. And then if Cena wins, then you get AJ and Joe at Mania, which nobody would be mad at. You know,
so you want to see Joe come up as a face?
Not necessarily.
So you want to turn AJ?
He would just kind of go tweener. Face? I feel like he got it. He can play tweener. I mean, both of them. I mean, AJ's like,
until AJ John Cena came back, it was the AJ style. It's still the AJ style show, except for when John Cena out there. Like,
yeah.
And even when they out there together. Like, I'm not saying he's on par with him, but AJ's done a great job in that first year, and it's the momentum is still going. Like, he's eventually going to lose the title, but I feel like it'll still be all right, because it's still matchups they haven't either dragged out a lot or even had at all. Like, that Randy Orton match is still one that I know I want to see.
I would love to see that. So, hopefully, maybe this Wyatt thing is going to kind of push.
But I'm looking at the Luke Harper thing, like, that's real. I like, maybe we getting a babyface Luke.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, do you think that'll work? I mean, I don't know.
I think it could. You remember the Fatal 4-Way?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for the title, he was like, he actually had the crowd.
But
that's not the first time, because when he had the, when he had the ISU title match, ISU championship.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was showing it back then. He got injured, so he kind of got derailed.
That's right. Okay. So maybe, that'll be interesting.
But I think that they need depth on SmackDown. They got guys, but what happened to Jack Swagger? Remember they bought Jack Swagger just to lose to Baron Corbin? We ain't seen him since. Like,
yeah. I mean, they seem to
definitely. Apollo Crews is getting, Crews he's is. Getting beaten in a fair fight to Dolph Ziggler after Dolph Ziggler had a match. Like,
man, Apollo needs something. I don't know. He needs an attitude.
I think Dolph could do, like, the same way Sami Zayn brought Braun up and then Braun brought Sami up, because Sami wouldn't have been in the main event in that main event without Braun, but Braun wouldn't have been in that position without Sami.
Right.
Because Sami kind of brought, like, the fact, because when they first started, Sami was above him, because that was Braun's first interaction with, like, a real person. He was just doing.
Yeah.
It's the job of stuff. So he brought him up, and since he's over him, he brought Sami kind of up the same way. So maybe if they did something with that situation like that, they can kind of Dolph could kind of bring Apollo up, and then maybe Apollo get over and bring Dolph back up at the end. You know, something like that. But I feel like Dolph is a heel is gonna be get these some of these struggling baby faces good matches, and get them on TV, and give them a chance.
Yeah.
Cause Dolph got over Baron Corbin. Like, he needed to get a lot of credit for that.
He did.
He got him on Raw and SmackDown. Like, they came over together.
He did. Yeah. He did a lot for him. I wasn't believing in Baron Corbin for a while, but I can see it now. I feel like he's got potential, man.
It was a promo in NXT he had cut, and from there I was like, alright. In the beginning, I hated him. Like, when at the first NXT takeover in Brooklyn, oh man, I booed him out the building. Like, get out of here. When he lost to Samoa Joe, I was so happy.
Yeah, but he gets legit heat, and it's not a lot of guys who you legitimately hate on the show. I mean, but they got some of the best heels, I think, with Miz, him. Like, they're doing well. And now Dolph. Yeah, he was great on Talking Smack.
Like, that confidence. Even Shane McMahon, like, the kind of giving, putting them over to him. Like, all right, they see something in him.
Yeah,
like, I felt like the Shane comments were kind of shoot.
Yeah.
It had a real feel to it.
Yeah, it did. They definitely believe in this dude, so I think he can do a lot. He might come out of the Royal Rumble, or I could see him winning Elimination Chamber. To be honest, I could see it happening. Yeah, I could see it happening.
Ooh, that would be nice.
I don't know.
Who would you have fight him at Mania?
man. And then you just, you give it, let Cena. Let Cena have him.
Cena? So hold off and let Cena get the coronation at Mania?
Yeah.
Like, but the match I've been waiting for since I can't even remember. Like, it had to be, is Undertaker Cena. Like, and yeah, I tweeted this out a couple weeks ago too. The amount of interaction that John Cena and Undertaker had, like, I would look it up. I should have had that on hand, but it's like they want me. They've had, like, it haven't been in the ring together since 2010.
Wow, that's crazy.
And all overall, they had a couple tag matches and like four single matches. They split, and the tag matches were split too.
So they just kept them away from each other. What if
they keep them away from each other?
What if they throw the loop of all loops and Roman somehow wins the title? Cena, they didn't say if these guys are also going to be in the Royal Rumble, but I'm guessing Jericho is too, right?
Yeah, Jericho is, because, but Jericho's not in the match though. He's just in the cage.
Okay, he's just in the cage. That's right. So what if, like, Jericho pulls it off, and then they eventually do the Jericho versus Owens thing? Do you think they're gonna actually?
I thought that was gonna be for the U.S.
It'll be for U.S. You think?
Yeah, because you can start building, like, U.S. title been kind of just sitting on the people that had it the last year. Like, you see the work they did with the Intercontinental title, and everything John Cena did with the U.S. Open Challenge is like it's all for nothing.
It's all gone. Yeah, like he brought so much.
All the prestige is gone.
Yeah, like John Cena held that title down and was putting on the best matches of his career.
So, and you know why the story, you know why it works? Because, and now I really want Roman to win. Because Roman takes the title off Kevin Owens, and the most over people on the show are now going to be focused on the United States Championship. Because now how Kevin used to come out holding the title, now when they come out together, Jericho going to have the title, and it's going to be the U.S. So we're going to start to put some more attention on that title and build it up. They finally have their match at WrestleMania. For the next year, you can give it to Owens or something and have them work with a call up and start building from there. Like, a lot of things you can do with it.
There's a lot that can happen. Wow. Okay.
So I think that should be like a since Raw has 3 hours, I think that should be a focus of building up the United States title again.
That would be dope. I want to see that happen. All right.
And
so
do the Jericho Owens thing.
We got one more match on this Royal Rumble card, as far as I know, that we haven't talked about. Not even sure if you care, but it should be a good match. Rich Swann versus Neville.
Oh, this is the match I'm most excited for.
This probably should be, I mean, outside of Styles and Cena, should be the
match. Of course, in the Royal Rumble. But, like, honestly, though, those are givens. But this is that match I'm most vested in. Like, this one is sad because if Rich Swann loses, that Black Excellence photo was all over, man. Like, that was that's the last title
left.
Last,
like, one. Like, they
he's the last hope. They got those. It took them less than a month to get them belts off of everybody. Like, y'all play it. All right, we got y'all.
Black Excellence, huh? I'll take that.
They said, Vince McMahon watched it, and I imagine him doing Mr. Burns. He was like, excellent. All right, I got you. We can get ready.
Wow. Yeah, he'll be the last one. But
Neville needs that.
They should be Neville needs that. Neville's been amazing. He's doing such great work. I'm like.
So if you didn't finish the tournament, you didn't see Night 2 then, right?
No, I didn't see it yet.
Oh, all right. So yeah, Neville, he had a good match on there too.
Nice. Okay. All right. I'm probably to watch that tonight then. So yeah, what do you think's happening in this match? Is Neville getting?
I think it's time.
It's time.
It's time, and it's no offense to Rich Swann. I think Rich Swann has done probably the best out of the cruiserweights that came up from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, out of that first batch, Cedric Alexander, like, he got a storyline, and that's cool, too. I'm ready to see him transition into some more serious things.
Yeah. I think so. I like what Kendrick was doing as well. I liked his story.
He was just, but I think overall, because Rich Swann, we watched him kind of, Kendrick came in, I don't know what happened with TJ, but, TJ, it was the segments with TJ, the voice acting, like, the talking, the video game dialogue, like.
Hey, you gotta level up, bro. Like,
yeah.
it was
your controller's unplugged. Like, nah, like, all right, God. Okay. All right. He's like Sir Lancelot, like, yeah, you got it.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
But, and you, like, and you know how you the man when it comes to the the video game influence.
I mean,
music,
I'm all about games, like. But
so if you, yeah, like that's a little. If you say that, that if it's too much for you, then they need to reconsider what they're doing. Like,
yeah, I feel like, come on, this is a guy that dabs, that wears Jordans, like
energy balls. Yo, I'm so and. I got like when he first came out with it, they said I was hating on him, and I'm like, no, I just don't like it. Like, and that's coming from me, somebody that like that type of music, and that's like right around the time where I released the song like that. And I'm like, no, I don't. It's not about that. I just don't like it. Like,
yeah, that's all. You know.
But your version, I like your song. Wait, your song? Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. There I go. That's my joint. Like,
I appreciate it. All right, so
remember, I heard it first. Like, well, not first, that. But I,
yeah, like, I remember exclusive. you was like first one to tell me like, yo, this is dope.
Yeah, I was on it.
Oh man. Okay, so last piece, I guess is we've been through several really good takes on what's happening. So the Hall of Fame announcement is that Kurt Angle, the man,
ooh,
of the three eyes,
yes.
Is getting in the hall. That I legit like marked out. I was going crazy.
Yeah.
I've been
even knowing what happened, like
yeah, this is just a great redemption story, I think.
So this is my wrestling life. I'm gonna tell you my wrestling life. I can sum it up in a few sentences.
Okay.
As a youngster, Coco Beware.
Okay.
Went from Coco Beware. And then it was like, I forgot who it was. Then you know the Hogan phase. Never like Warrior nothing. I went back and started liking Macho Man as I was older, but it was Coco Beware, Hogan, Bret Hart, Kurt Angle, like, and from Kurt Angle to Edge, and that's the rest of the way. So like, that's in my lineage. Just like, all right, that was my guy, like my main guy.
So we got to push. So we got to push for Coco Beware to get in the Hall of Fame. Then is he in there?
Yeah, he already in there.
Oh, he's
my
in
man
there.
Certified.
Okay.
All right,
I'm
my
about
man
to
Coco
say,
certified.
In there. All right, cool.
Frankie, he got the he in it.
Frankie
he
in there.
He was on the stage doing the bird. My man Frankie. I had one of when I was a kid. My fifth grade my first grade graduation. You know, you graduate from kindergarten and go to first grade.
Uh huh.
It was a festival. It was like a festival. My mom's won a big bird named him Frankie. I had a bird named Frankie.
Nah.
Yeah, Coco Beware, man.
Wow.
That was my guy coming up.
That's the guy.
So I guess just gravitating, you know, you gravitate to what's like you, and that was, we ain't had many representations. I'm like, all right, I'll take it.
Nice. Yeah, man, like, it was, you know, we didn't see many people of color, so it was like, when you see a brother up there, you're like, yo, here we go, you know? So you get behind them, like Junkyard Dog all those guys were my time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel you.
That's before they start. Like, that's before it got bad, where they was comfortable and they start doing like Harlem Heat and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Because at the time they still had respect. They had a little bit of respect. They was a little scared to do a certain thing. So you're not gonna win a lot of matches, but at least you ain't gonna. You gotta dance, but at least you know what I mean. You're not out here like a gangster or nothing.
right. Not a gangster though. All right. So
not yet.
What is okay? So do you think have you heard any rumblings as far as the Hall of Fame class, like? Who else is going to get into it? What's the rumored list? Like, what? Who's on the ballot?
Rick Rude, I think.
Okay.
I think Rick Rude, right?
Okay. I haven't heard, so I was just wondering.
Yeah, Rick Rude and Victoria. I think it was Victoria was the other person, too.
Okay. Word.
Which is cool.
That's cool. I can deal with that. Now, I heard there's
anybody
rumors.
Anybody you think, you definitely think the only thing going to happen?
I don't know, man. It needs to.
It doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right.
Nah, but if they get Rick Rude in for real, that's a nice piece that deserves to be in. And Kurt Angle being back in the fold is a positive for everybody. Like,
yeah. I've read some rumors of DDP, which is over.
Oh yeah, DDP too. Yeah, I forgot about DDP.
I thought he was already in. I was like, wait, DDP? Well, because Jake's in. So I
think.
Was like,
but they did it's because the story's so close together with the documentary too. It kind of made it feel like they all got inducted when he was up there and they raised their hands.
Yeah.
It was like it kind of made it feel like because the other two are. So it kind of it kind of made it feel like it was him too. But yeah. He deserves it.
Oh, absolutely. So we talked about Rick Rude.
And even if we just talking strictly off in ring, like his WCW run is, I mean, because they don't have a Hall of Fame, so you got to start honoring some of the people that did it, that contributed there. It's, I mean, they call it WWE, but it's a pro wrestling Hall of Fame. So off his WCW run alone, he deserves to be in.
Absolutely. Another guy who's probably his best stuff might have been in WCW, but, you know, people know him now for what he's doing in NXT, is William Regal. What do you think?
Oh. Yeah.
I feel but like
more
that's
of a, absolutely. More of an like, ambassador type of, like, role is for what he's done. I mean, his wrestling, I don't think he's ever really been the guy. And the one time that he had a chance is when that was a good moment. You remember when he won the King of the Ring and it was like, I guess they was maybe even going to give him a position and then he failed like a drug test or something?
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. Because
he was like the commissioner and the king. And I think Punk was the champion at the time. And that wasn't a strong champion. Like, so if things would have shook out well, we probably could have seen that happen. Like,
yeah, I think he was kind of ready. Then that happened. Another guy that's been mentioned a lot is Christian. So what do you think?
Your
boy's best friend.
slash brother.
Slash brother, yeah.
Grandma's favorite. You remember that?
Yeah.
He's grandma's favorite. Christian, Grandma Edna, I think.
I don't remember. Did he ever win the world title in WWE?
Yep.
I feel like he did, yep. Yeah.
He won it twice. He won it in the ladder match from Del Rio. And then he won it by disqualification when he spit Randy Orton's face.
Okay.
And then Randy Orton like hit him with a chair, son, he snapped. Because remember they had that match where they kept getting disqualified, and then it was the stipulation if Randy lose by disqualification, Christian could still win the title.
Yeah.
But he only had it for one pay-per-view. He lost it in the next pay-per-view.
It was quick, I remember that.
Okay. Yeah. But remember, his title run was bad because, I'm sorry, like the Christian title run, like it's a world title run, but it was only for a resume because remember he lost it the first television. He won it and then Randy challenged him and Randy beat him for the title and then that started his heel turn.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember that. All right. Also, last one that they haven't mentioned yet, but I feel like deserves it due to his accomplishments throughout wrestling. Big Van Vader, what do you think?
Oh yeah, Vader definitely. Sometimes accolades aren't the only thing that matter when you do the Hall of Fame and perception. I remember being like around for Vader's like height and the things you could do to change people's perception for wrestling and as how it's viewed should count too. And having a big man be that dominant around the time and the matches be kind of legitimate as opposed to, you know, the punchy, kicky matches. It was like real matches he was working.
Yeah.
And that was around the time where I started dabbling in the W's because I used to just be superstars and, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, your hunger for wrestling, you start going through the TV Guide and you see that as well. Oh, yeah, TV Guide. I dropped the TV Guide reference. Not the channel, the actual book.
The guide channel.
Yeah, right? Like the real small book. Like.
Wow.
Sure, but like, yo, you go through there and you start seeing different programs. Like, oh, that's wrestling too. Like, you know. So you start venturing out and finding different things. And I feel like he should definitely be in there for his work as a big man and his work in Japan.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they count everything.
Absolutely.
The WWF run, I'm avoiding it because it wasn't really
it
like.
It wasn't great. Yo, I listened to a really good podcast, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Prichard.
Me too, man.
Yeah, that show is great. And so he has a great story on Vader. Talking about how they just never could really get him off the ground and how, like, you know, his stuff with Shawn Michaels. Like, it was really interesting.
And, you censor this, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, I don't? All right, because it was a Vader promo where, like, one of his last promos, he lost a match. And Doc had just come up to him. And he's like, he says, hey, Vader, he lost to Kane. He's like, what's going on? He's like, I thought it was Vader's time. He was like, I don't know. Maybe Vader's time's over. Maybe I'm just a big fat piece of shit. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like, wow.
Okay. Like, poor Vader. I felt so bad for him. Like,
they were like, that wasn't his line. Like, he didn't have to say that.
Like, he just buried himself. Like, I'm just a big fat piece of shit.
He just buried himself. He didn't have to say that. Like, no, that wasn't his line. Like, we didn't give him that.
Yeah, I've been watching my language the whole time. You know what I mean? I don't even curse in my music more, though.
That was worth it.
Because one time I did the John Cena freestyle, and then I tweeted it out, and like the first line is the curse. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably not the best thing to do. Like, so I'm like, I'm done cursing.
Yeah, it's good to
real life I curse, but not in the music.
It's worth for family friendly stuff, you know. You don't want to turn it off with it. But So anyway, yo, this has been a great show, man. I've been really enjoying
it. Yeah, it's fun, man.
We could chat forever. This would be the longest episode ever. But
I'm trying to make a Brock debut. Next week, they're going to be like, wait, yeah, what happened? Like, yeah, no vignette or nothing. I just came out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, all KO.
Just wrecked the whole set. All right, so before we go, though, I got to get you to give me a music selection. And the selection has got to be something that you would come to the ring to. See, back in the day when we first got into wrestling, we used to make cardboard wrestling belts. Like, we would draw them, and we would try to wrestle and have champions on the block.
We had playground, Saturday morning playground wrestling.
Yeah.
That wasn't the name of it, but we had a federation.
Nice. Yeah, we did too. And so,
yeah, we had a federation.
When it was time for me to come to the ring, I would set up my little boom box, and I would play Beastie Boys, No Sleep Till Brooklyn. That was my interest music. You know what I mean? So it sounded hard, like some Road Warriors type stuff. So I would just come to the ring smashing. And so what is the song you would come to the ring to?
It was your time, ready?
For your legit debut.
All right, so because I rap, like, I would definitely not do anything like that. I would come to the ring to Mooney Suzuki, Alive and Amplified.
Nice.
Alive and Amplified would be my entrance theme. You could start it up from the beginning and everything. You give me some pyro, and I could just do my thing. Like, yo, you could, that whole song. And even if you want to cut through, like, at the end of the match, you don't got to play the intro. You know how you could
edit it for the end of the matches?
Yeah. You could put it anywhere in that song, and it'll be perfect.
It would still be dope.
It's a triumphant. It's like, it lets you know I'm here, I'm feeling good, I'm positive, and yeah, let's go. Wow, Live and Amplified.
That's a great show. Okay, we're going to go into that actually right now to end off the show. Thank you once again, Rated R, for joining me.
Thank you. First of all, and another thing, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity, and you and artists like you, like, y'all make it so that people that can pick up the pen and want to pursue this don't have to rap about the same things that everybody else does. You don't have to talk about turning up, even though that's cool too. You don't have to do drugs and sell drugs and kill people and stuff like that. You can rap about your interests and make it okay. Like, and I appreciate you for paving the way and even giving this platform for people to come on your show. And then, like, it's just a lot you're giving back to the culture. Kind of like
you,
a full-timer that gives back. Like, you know what I mean? Like Jericho kind of thing.
I'll be trying to, man. I'll try. So thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
You,
that's a good comparison. I'm the Jericho.
Nerd rap game, man. Drink it in, man.
All right. Well, we out of here, man. Thank you. Oh, tell the people how they can get in touch with you, man. All the ways.
My name is Rated R, but on Twitter I'm Unicorn Papa. That's Unicorn PAPA. You can also put that on the Instagram, and from there you can find my SoundCloud and all that stuff. Yeah, I talk wrestling all day. Yeah, I do gifts, all of that stuff. Come have fun. We have a good time on my Twitter. Just reached 1,000 followers. Thank you very much. Yeah, 1K.
Nice.
1K, baby.
All right.
Baby steps.
That's what's up. All right, cool. I will holler at you soon, man.